Think you're the ultimate Big Brother know-it-all? Then prove it by playing the free Big Brother fantasy game at PickPete.com. Just lock in your team of four houseguests that you think can go the distance and see if you can outpredict the field of Big Brother watchers. So just pick out your team for free before Wednesday night's episode of Big Brother at PickPete.com. That's PickPete.com.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the man who's one of podcasting's top kisser butters, Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Regular night, special time. Here we are live on a big June 26th, first Sunday of the Big Brother 18 season. Talk about the Sunday night episode. Talk about the roadkill competition, which we have added to the mix here on our Big Brother Sunday nights, and to talk about everything going on the episode, as well as on our Big Brother live feeds, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm so happy. Like, I'm ecstatic because I am going to get to talk about one of the best players we've ever seen in the history of the show.
Yes, and that I assume you're talking about the man on the screen behind me, Jose. Oh,
of course. Yes. Who else?
Yes way, Jose. It's time to put Jose in historical context tonight with the Devons, with some of the other luminaries in Big Brother history. We will do that and much more here tonight. And of course, we'll be taking your questions live with our hashtag RHAP or on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Plus, then we'll get into the weekend in the live feeds. Maybe look at an alliance chart that Taryn Armstrong put together and much, much more here on a live show. And again, special time, Game of Thrones season 6 finale was earlier tonight. Just finished watching that. That podcast with Josh Wigler is coming up at 12:30 a.m. Eastern time. Taryn will be long asleep by the time I get to talking Game of Thrones with Josh Wigler.
Yeah, I will. And I'll be watching Game of Thrones probably tomorrow.
All right, too, no spoilers yeah, on the Game of Thrones. Chat room, be cool. Be cool, chat room. Don't spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it. Please, please. I'm asking you to be cool. Moderators, ban anybody for life who spoils anything from Game of Thrones. I'm not joking about that. Okay. All right. So that's how serious I take these spoilers. All right. So
yeah, you'll get Glenned.
Yeah, you'll get Glenned. Banished immediately. All right. So of course we did get our exit interview in, our very brief exit interview with Glenn, our Brexit interview that we got those four questions in with him. You could check that out on robhasawebsite.com on our Friday update that I did with Alex.
Wouldn't it be a Glexit interview?
Yes. Yes. Also, in other news tonight, also thanks so much to everybody who voted for post show recaps to win the TV and film, best TV and film podcast of the year at the Podcast Awards for 2016 tonight. That post show recaps picked up some hardware tonight. So thank you guys so much for that. Greatly appreciate that. And more on that on post show recaps. So everybody over the post show recaps, very excited about that tonight. So a lot to celebrate in addition to the greatness that is Jose. So Taryn, let's start off tonight. What you want to discuss? Let's discuss I think the biggest headline is probably the debut of the new twist. This is what's going to replace the Battle of the Block here tonight. Let's talk about the roadkill. First off, I don't really understand why this is called roadkill. I don't really get the theme. It seems to be that for some reason there's a Winnebago that shows up. They're calling it roadkill. I get the theme of the house is different places, and somehow we've sort of like loosely taken that it's a summer vacation, so now we're gonna roll in a Winnebago once a week for a competition. We're gonna do a competition inside a Winnebago. Not since Spaceballs has a Winnebago seen this much action.
Yeah, maybe one of the producers like had a very bad experience on a road trip once, and they just kind of associate summer vacation with, you know, running somebody over.
It's weak. It's weak. It's weak in terms of the branding. Before we get into the anything with the concept, just the branding, I think, is sort of it's a stretch.
Yeah, and it also seems like. I remember in Big Brother Canada 3, they did a similar kind of theme where they had a road trip and they ran over Marsha the Moose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like maybe they were just taken from that.
Okay. So what we're going to have here is that we're going to have a special power. The winner of this is going to be anonymous and get to name a third nominee, which unprecedented. Well, I guess the closest parallel, I guess you'd say, is the Big Brother 15 MVP twist, where America voted for somebody and that person got to name that person to the block. But it does appear as though, maybe you can clarify this from what you've uncovered in the feeds, that if the veto is used, and I'm not sure if BB15 had it this way, I'm not sure if the MVP was also naming a person to be the veto, or if that went back to HOH. Do you remember that at all from Big Brother 15?
I don't remember, actually. I think it might have been that the HOH renominated, but I can't remember. I can't remember a time where the MVP nomination was vetoed.
Okay. So that being said, here is the roadkill power. Adds the possibility that somebody is going to get this power anonymously and be able to add a nominee. Taryn, on Twitter over the last couple of days, I have seen your reaction to this, and you do not love it, to put it mildly.
Yeah, well, basically, it serves the same purpose as the Battle of the Block does, where it just makes it a lot more difficult for a minority alliance to kind of regain control of the House, or even to make a dent in any sort of majority alliance, because the majority alliance gets two different chances now to put somebody up on the block, and then they control the votes to send them home. And because they are the majority of the alliance, they are more likely to win any given competition. So having two chances just makes it even that much more likely that a minority alliance is not going to be able to do anything.
So between Battle of the Block and things like this, should we assume that Big Brother, which I think is sort of an odd thing, that Big Brother seems to want to give in to whatever the majority of the House wants to do?
Yeah, well, they really liked Big Brother 16, so I feel like for whatever reason, they enjoy that. They enjoy this kind of thing where they're able to kind of prop up one side of the House and say, these are our characters this year, and we're going to follow them all the way through to the end, and we're not going to kind of see the kind of thing where we do in a lot of Big Brother seasons where it kind of flips back and forth and we don't know who we're going to be following, and maybe it's more difficult for them to sort of craft a story around that. Mm-hmm. So that might be their thinking, or it just might be they're thinking that, like, oh, we like twists and we like crazy stuff happening.
Because if you were going to plan out a Big Brother season, though, traditionally, aren't the most beloved figures in any Big Brother game the characters that are the underdogs that are fighting from the bottom? And don't you think something like this would really hurt those people in that position?
Absolutely. And I mean, it's difficult. I mean, it's what happened. It's almost what happened in Big Brother 17. The underdogs were about to get decimated, and then they took the Battle of the Block away and gave the underdogs a chance. They won two HOHs in a row. They almost got to take a chunk out of the majority alliance, but by then it was almost too late and they still got decimated. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. I'm not sure that they fully understand the ramifications of the twist. I think that they just kind of like the fact that it's this anonymous power. There's crazy things that could happen from it, but it does mess with the dynamics of the game in a way that I don't know if they're fully anticipating. So yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Interesting to see that this was the direction that it went. Now that we know how this is going to work, do you prefer this to the Battle of the Block, or would you rather have the battle? If you had, basically, what's the lesser of two evils in your mind, Taryn?
I mean, I'll wait to see how this plays out. The Battle of the Block, I think, is probably more difficult to control because you need somebody to throw a comp for you in order to, like, really have full control over it. This is more easy to control, I think, that all you need to do is win one of these two competitions, and then one of those people are going to be on the block, and then you control the votes. So strategy-wise, the Battle of the Block is probably better. Entertainment-wise, this is probably going to be better, just because it is entertaining to see somebody win an anonymous power, make some sneaky nominations, and nobody knows that it's them. Like, that does create some interesting scenarios. So that's kind of how I feel. Entertainment wise, better. Strategy wise, not quite as much.
By the way, I forgot to set this up at the top of the show. This is the first live show that we're doing since the live feeds have kicked off. So what we are going to do is only be talking about the episode up front. Hopefully, chat room, you can also follow along with those guidelines. And then we will play you the spoiler bumper at the point where we're going to talk about everything that's going on from the live feeds. But that's the format that we'll be following for all the podcasts from this point on the rest of the season. And obviously not on Thursdays, because that is when there is very little that's a spoiler from the live feeds, unless we have a HOH competition that's spilling over into overtime. Okay, so that being said, we have Frank as the first winner of the roadkill competition. He tells his alliance. Ultimately, he decides to put Paul up there on the block to join them. Reactions to Paul going up on the block?
Yeah, it was just basically the only one. There's not a lot of options left right. for Frank to nominate. And Paul is just an easy choice because he's part of the anti-vet group. And interesting to note that despite the kind of edit that we're getting of Paul, where he's very over the top and annoying, he is kind of that person in the house, but a lot of people seem to like him a little bit. They're like, you know, we don't like Paul's position in the house, but you know, he's all right. He's kind of annoying, but he's all right. We don't want to get rid of him yet. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to get rid of him later, but not yet. So he's basically being nominated as a pawn, just somebody to go up there because there's very little options left.
Okay. All right. So that being said, okay, so our official nominees heading into the veto competition are Jose and Paulie and Paul heading into that. That could be potentially very tricky for Thursday. I vote to evict Paul. I vote to evict Paulie. Oh, wait, I meant Paul. So that's something to watch out for. But let's talk about Jose, because I think that he is starting to enter this conversation now for people that are historically in that we will talk about for years to come in terms of how he has decided to play this game. And I tweeted this earlier tonight. I wish I had Jose's optimism about anything in any capacity, because he's just like dead wrong about everything. But no matter what sort of roadblock gets thrown in his way, he's just like, oh, okay, we got this. We got this. I got everything under control.
Yeah, I think if optimism is the nice way to put what Jose is, then he's probably the most optimistic player we've probably seen in the history of the show.
Yeah.
He has this idea that he is controlling the house and nothing will shake that idea from him. He thinks that he has these votes locked. He thinks that everybody loves him. He thinks that he's the glue that holds everything together. And he also thinks that he's going to host the Grammys.
Wow. Yeah, I did see him on the live feeds talking about, boy, how many Instagram followers do you think I have at this point?
Yeah, that was a conversation that was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Some probably like 80 or 90,000 by now, right?
Probably.
Is what they
probably.
Were saying.
And so Jose is interesting, because that where we've seen like historically a person like a Devin or people like that, you know, one of two things happen that really causes them to snap, where one, they come into power. And they get what we call the HOH-itis, where, okay, I have so much power, I'm going to overwield the amount of power, and I want everybody to sort of bend their knee to my whims. And that's one of the ways that these people go sort of haywire. The other is where people realize the writing is on the wall, and they know they're going out of the house. And that's also, okay, I'm backed into a corner. I'm a cage tiger. Now I'm going to go loco. Let's call that the Joey. Okay. So you have one of these two scenarios, but here we have Jose, who is on the block, but feels very secure in his position of being one of the three nominated house guests.
Yeah, when we have no reason to believe that he would act any differently under any other circumstances that he'd be in the house. If he got power, I can only imagine what he would be like and the kinds of things that he would be saying. So let's... Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good reason for him to root for Jose to stay is one of the, you know, we would love to see what that would look like. All right. So then with that in mind, Taryn, for people maybe who haven't followed Big Brother over the years as closely as you have, what are some of the real tentpole things you've seen Jose do that are just horribly bad?
He tells people straight up that, you know, we're coming after you, you know, me and my group, we've got the votes locked, you know, they're just scared now. They're acting weird because they know that they've lost, you know, poor James. He knows that the votes aren't there. So he's going to vote with us because he has no spine. He says things like, you know, I can just, you know, make 100K doing makeup all the time whenever I want. I've got an investor that'll just invest 100K in me whenever I feel like it.
You got to think that investor is having second thoughts at this point. No?
Yeah, I mean, hey, who am I to question the Messiah? Okay?
I guess so.
His word is law. We're all making fun of him now, but when those votes come in inexplicably and he stays, you know?
Yeah. So, very, very good point. So, we ended up, seeing him with, Davon and, really, you know, trying to, win her over. And, she was basically telling, he told, Davon how he was coming for Nicole. To use his words, he's coming for that bitch.
Yes. That also, he referred to Nicole as thing, I believe. So yeah. See, I mean, this is the kind of thing he's doing where he's just like spilling his guts everywhere, say, like telling people what's happening. He mentioned it on the show at some point. I'm very wary of Frank because Frank, he's not saying anything. And I was just like, yeah, he's not blurting out his entire game like you are. Like,
yeah.
That's what's making you nervous is that Frank isn't telling you everything about what he's doing at all times and saying that he's the king of everything.
Yeah. We also had Jose then, he had a confrontation with Nicole and or he's telling at least Bridget, he told her that he thought Nicole was cute, but that's it, that he's done with her. He's going after Nicole.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically been his MO. He's going after Nicole. Nicole put him up. He's got his group and he's basically going to do whatever he wants. He doesn't really have much of a game plan other than, aren't we just the best looking, nicest, most family oriented cast ever? If I leave, then that's all going to be ruined because I'm the glue that holds it all together. So thank God I'm not leaving.
Yeah, I did hear him say that on the live feeds yesterday about how, like, we're the most family-oriented group that they ever had. And I thought he was, like, saying, like, oh, yeah, family-oriented because we have Cody's brother is here and Vanessa's sister is here. That's what he was going. I was like, no, that's actually not what he was trying to say.
Yeah, not quite.
So not quite that. All right. So in other news, we have the new alliance. The 8-pack alliance is formed tonight. And it wouldn't be a Big Brother season if we didn't have some huge alliance take shape in the first week of the season. Elite 8 is what it's called. Taryn, can you give us the rundown of Elite 8? We have our 4 returning players, correct?
Well, it was almost called Elite 8.
They called it the 8-pack.
Yes, the 8-pack. After Corey, I guess.
We'll get to Corey later tonight.
Yeah, so the 8-pack is basically the vets, the 4 vets, Nicole, Davon, Frank, and James, along with their kind of new player hang-ons, Michelle, Tiffany, Corey, and Zakiya. And they formed this thing. They also have some side sort of allegiances. They've got Polly kind of under wraps. Bridget has fed them some information, but is not really with them a whole lot. But they are definitely running the show right now. They have the majority line. Nobody knows about them at the moment. They're sharing a lot of information with each other. But that doesn't mean there aren't cracks.
Mm-hmm. But 15 people in the house, and 8-pack is more than what you'd need to be able to control the vote every single week. But here's what I want to get into with you, Taryn, because we, just to look at this from the, you know, 50,000 foot view, we have Jose, who's in the house, who we're talking about, this historically bad house guest who is up on the block, and, you know, people like Nicole, he's got to go. But Taryn, my question to you is the elite player, and maybe there is not one in the house at this point, should the elite player in the game be concerned at all with Jose and what he is doing in the house?
In what sense? Like, are they worried about him damaging their game?
For instance, if Jose is in the house at this point, I think for me, if I'm a player in the house, I don't want Jose going anywhere. I want Jose in the game for as long as possible, because I know none of his plans are ever going to work, and I would love to keep him around. And if I end up in a situation where Paul is up on the block, immediately Paul becomes the target for me rather than Jose, because I feel like that Paul is the far more capable player in the game, and that is always what I want to be taking out every week. Who is the bigger threat in the game of getting something going on?
So far, what it seemed like is that, you know, Paul is kind of erratic, but he is a little bit moldable. They've been able to talk to Paul and say, hey, you know, maybe what if you didn't have the votes? What if that crazy situation happened? Would you feel like maybe you'd want to distance yourself from these people? And Paul has been kind of amenable to that. He's up for the idea of, you know, doing that sort of thing. And then, when we look at Paulie as well, Paulie is somebody who is going to be able to work with the vets. He's going to be able to work with these people. And he doesn't have a lot of connections in the house as well. So, if I'm looking at Paulie or Jose is the most erratic person. He is the most uncontrollable person. And despite the fact that he's so bad at the game, he does have connections. He does have people who are willing to kind of follow what he says, at the moment, at least.
I guess so. I mean, to me, I feel like that the reason that you say for Paul is why he's not the target. I feel like that is a great reason to go after him, because he can go under the radar and potentially work with both sides, where Jose is just going to be a disaster. And even if he got the power, you still have the option to be able to have the roadkill come up. So I kind of feel like that I would always want to say, keep that player in the game as long as possible if I was in the house with them. But it does not seem like anybody is really thinking about those things from what we've seen so far.
Yeah, and it's especially Nicole, because Nicole is the main target of Jose at the moment, so she's obviously pushing that hard. Devon, who just kind of wants Jose, he drives her crazy. And then when we look at people like Frank, I think Frank is the person who's most kind of angling to get Paul on his side, so it's obviously in his benefit to keep Paul over Jose. So there are a lot of different things going into it, and it's also, again, it's like the first week of voting, and this is just an easy target to get behind. We can all rally behind this idea of getting out Jose. They don't want to make it too complicated.
Okay, so let's talk about the other alliance that we saw come to light tonight, which is very, very fun. Let's talk about what is the official name of the spies?
Oh, yeah, the spy girls.
Spy girls. Okay. First, let's go down the line. We have flirty spy. That is Natalie.
Yep.
We have wifey spy, which is Bronte, wifey spy.
Yeah, very, very wife-like. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect wifey. And then spunky spy is Bridget. And Taryn, how amazing is the spy girls?
I think that if I were to describe this alliance, it would be the most adorable alliance,
yes,
of all time.
Oh, so adorable.
Yeah. Adorable in all senses of the word. You know, it's cute and it's also a little bit harmless, right? Like,
right.
a little bit clueless. They're doing this right in front of Tiffany, who immediately, you know, spots them. I had flashbacks to Derek seeing Joey make her all girls alliance in the first week. So yeah, I believe maybe it was Tiffany. They've been calling this alliance, because they're aware of it, the Powerpuff Girls. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have on my alliance chart, the Powerpuff Girls. We learned the real name on the show tonight. But yes, very, very interesting combination of people.
Okay, and the Spy Girl Alliance, what do they stand for?
They stand for girl power.
Girl power.
Yeah. Okay. Bronte and Natalie have talked about they will always vote for a female to win over a male in the final two, no matter what, no matter who it is. So
Debbie Wanner.
Yeah, if it's up to them, you know, Gina Marie is going to win Big Brother 15. So look out for that in the future.
Yeah. So yeah, God bless them. God bless them. We wish them lots of luck in this game. But yeah, that's what they're up to. We also saw an alliance forming tonight between Davon and Zakiya. This one feels like that this could be something to watch.
Yes, definitely. They are definitely bonding together. They seem to be one of the closer pairs in the house at the moment. And then they're also very layered within their alliances. So definitely one to look out for. Nobody seems to be targeting Day or Zakiya at the moment. So I definitely think this is a pretty decent spot for them.
Okay. We also saw the punishment that we were wondering about from the opening night of the show. And we have people who are pixelated and Big Brother going to great lengths to bring in maybe the person just who is maybe either fast forwarding or flipping around the channels. Like, well, hold on. What? People are naked?
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically the gist of it. The players are not fond of this particular costume. It's a bit uncomfortable in many different ways. But you know, they want to get Polly in that outfit and, you know, they want to show that segment of Corey eyeing up Polly and Frank. So
yeah, Corey did seem very interested in what was going on there,
which is fantastic, because ever since the feeds came on, he's just been constantly talking about, oh my God, I really hope people don't think that I'm gay. I'm not gay, everyone. Oh man, people think I'm gay now. And it made me realize that segment in the first episode and now this one, they are absolutely trolling him 100%.
Yeah, it's okay. I have this in my notes of Corey gay subplot. So obviously, you know, there were some controversial comments that Corey had made on his Twitter. You can certainly Google for more information on that. But it does seem as though the production is going to lengths to any time they can put it out there that maybe Corey is trying to at least either take a look at these guys or is somehow interested. And we saw it in the opening night, him talking about Victor, but he is certainly doing some things that giving them material to put onto the show.
Yeah, it's strange too, because when the feeds come on, he's openly kind of flirting with Jose. You know, they're kind of messing with each other. And then he learns that the feeds were on and he's, oh my God, no, what are people going to think?
Yeah.
It's very, I'm glad that they're doing this to him.
Yeah. And the story to me is not like, oh, the speculation is he or isn't he? The story is that production seems to have keyed on that this is a concern of his,
yeah,
and are going out there to put things out there to feed into that concern that he may have.
He's going to be so unhappy when he watches the episode.
Which, you know, good.
Yeah.
So all good stuff. All right. So we have so many different things to get to that normally we'll probably spend more time talking about the actual show that was going on. But because there's a lot of stuff to get to with the live feeds and we have Taryn's alliance chart, we want to begin that part of our conversation talking about all of that tonight. So, Taryn, is there anything else from the show that you want to jump into?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So, let's go ahead and do this. So, I'm going to play the sound of the spoilers to get into that. So, if you are not going to stick around, join us on Wednesday night for our next live show here on RHAP. Of course, Jordan Parhar will be live with the first reality TV happy hour of the Big Brother season. That will be Monday night live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for all that. Taryn will be there with Brent and Alex to talk through all of this stuff that this season. Jordan will only be talking live feed. So, if you are not up for that, then maybe you want to skip that. But if you don't want to skip it, you'll be in for a treat going through all of the breaking stories from this upcoming week on the Big Brother live feeds on robisawebsite.com. All right, so let's jump into it. For the first time this season, I'll take away our spoiler song from Ryan Elder.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes, that's right. Okay, spoilers galore. Time to talk about the weekend in the Big Brother live feeds. So much going on, Taryn. Have you been enjoying your first night or your first weekend of the live feeds?
Yeah, it's been all right. I mean, the first few nights are always exciting. There's so much to learn. You know, you're getting to know these people. It's very strange watching people like Tiffany and Polly because Tiffany especially is seriously just seems exactly like Vanessa. That said, it has been a little slow. Things have kind of been set in stone ever since the feeds came on and nothing has really changed.
Okay. So we talked about on Friday that when the feeds came up, it was going to be Jose. He was the presumptive evictee heading into Thursday. But then we had our veto competition. So let's talk that through first. Okay, so who is the holder of the first veto of the season?
Well, you know, Paul promised us that he was going to win the veto in that diary room, and he did.
Yes.
Paul won the veto, yeah.
Paul, winner of the first veto. And the veto ceremony was today?
Yep.
Okay.
And this was interesting because Paul was obviously Frank's nominee. So Frank had to lock in his replacement nominee before the ceremony. And so when they did the ceremony, obviously, I imagine they did the same thing with the spinning faces. And Frank nominates Bridget as the replacement.
Okay. Was there talk in the house that it was going to go in a different direction?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, there was speculation from the other side that, you know, well, you know, because they still don't know who won that sort of roadkill competition. So they didn't really know what was going to happen. But even then, it was kind of like, well, Bridget, if you go up, then just know it would be as a pawn.
Okay. So 12 votes in the house on Thursday. Oh, do you have a estimated vote count for Jose?
I believe it's 11 votes.
11.
Because there's three nominees.
Okay, 11 to 1 to 0?
Well, no, what I'm saying, there's 11 votes total.
I got it. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry.
I think it's 7 to 4.
7 to 4, okay.
Jose will be leaving.
So is there a chance Jose could stay? Or is it truly no way Jose?
I mean, you know, never say never, especially in the first week, but it has been very stationary so far. So I'm going to say no way, Jose.
Okay, no way, Jose. Okay. All right. Let's take a look at the alliance chart that Taryn has come up with us to sort of illustrate a lot of what we're talking about. So let's go through this a little bit. And Taryn, why don't you take the lead here and highlight anything that is in addition to what we've already talked about that was explained on tonight's show.
All right. So, yeah, so we've got the 8-pack, as I explained. They are the majority alliance. The vets have also got their own sort of side deal within the 8-pack that they're not super loyal to. I mean, not everybody in the 8-pack, there's a lot of fractures here, especially coming from Devon. Devon is always talking about, do you think Tiffany is you know, trustworthy? Do you think this person is trustworthy? When should we get rid of Frank and James? There's a lot of stuff going on there. Then we've got this is the alliance that everyone was really excited about because, it's one of the first seemingly, impressive, all girl alliances. You know, we got the Powerpuff Girls, but this is the Fatal Five. This is some serious business, named by Tiffany. It is the five women in the 8-pack. It doesn't include any of the guys. They have talked about how they want to kind of take the girls to the end. But again, this one, not super loyal. We've kind of got two sides to it. We've got, Michelle and Tiffany are kind of a tight duo. And then we've got Devon and Zakiya and Nicole as well, kind of as their own separate thing. And there's a little bit of tension between those two groups within the Fatal Five, which is within the eight pack. There's nothing super solid going on at the moment in any of this, other than the fact that it's just one big blob of majority alliance.
Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between Devon and Tiffany? Why is there friction there?
Well, if you watched Big Brother 17, you'll probably understand it's basically the same tension that was between Devon and Vanessa. Tiffany is kind of very similar to Vanessa, basically. She has the same sort of emotional outbursts, maybe not to the same exact extent, but she has the same sort of paranoid way of talking and going about things. So the other night, Devon let Tiffany know that, you know, some of the anti-vet people have been talking about you as a target because they think maybe you won the roadkill competition. And so they're thinking about targeting you. And Tiffany freaked out, as Vanessa would, sort of like, oh, are you saying that I'm the target? Like, what's happening here? And so after that, Devon was talking with Nicole and pretty much everyone else, like, I don't know. I don't think we can tell Tiffany things anymore. She just freaks out. Do you think Tiffany's getting too close with Polly? Because Tiffany told Polly that she is Vanessa's sister. And since then, they have been talking a lot. And that has worried Devon as well. So there's a lot of suspicion coming from Devon toward Tiffany, and Devon is trying to spread that. And Michelle is trying to kind of vouch for Tiffany, saying, no, she's fine. Don't worry about it. And so that's, you know, it's worrying because this is exactly what happened with Devon and Vanessa, and Vanessa played a part in taking Devon out in week two in Big Brother 17.
Now, is it because that Devon and Vanessa didn't get along in Big Brother 17 and that battle is being fought here in Big Brother 18, as in Devon is blaming Tiffany for things that Vanessa did? Or is it just that Vanessa and Tiffany have the same energy, and for whatever reason, that just does not jive with the energy that Devon brings to the table?
I think it's the energy thing. I think that Tiffany doesn't have quite the same intensity, but for whatever intensity she doesn't have, she makes up for it in the fact that Devon has this relationship with Vanessa previously. I think it's very similar in that sense.
Is it just that Devon sort of like says it how it is, and then Tiffany is sort of cagey in the way that she will sort of describe things in the same way Vanessa is, and then it's just because that those two styles of communication just don't mesh?
I think so. Tiffany and Vanessa, they're both very kind of high strung. They're very, you know, intense people. Devon is very much more kind of, she doesn't have time for that, right? She doesn't have the energy to deal with these like really intense people who need a lot of validation and need to be handled in a special way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that'll be interesting to watch how that's going to go. The Michelle and Tiffany thing. I was watching a little bit of them on the live feeds over the weekend, and I saw that Tiffany was sort of like shouting out to Vanessa, and Michelle was sort of like right there by her, and then she was like shouting out to Vanessa too. Is Michelle sort of like buying into the fangirl of it all, where that, oh, I'm friends with Tiffany and now I'm going to be friends with Vanessa?
It's hard to tell. Michelle is a little bit hard to read. I think that's definitely a part of it. She definitely wants to work with the veterans. And I think that part of that is, you know, the fandom aspect. I think when she learned that Tiffany was Vanessa's sister, that excited her.
So real kiss or butter after that.
Yes, very, very much kiss or butter. There's also a part of it that I think might be this sense that she knows their game. She knows that if Tiffany is similar to Vanessa, she has an idea of what to expect from Vanessa. And maybe she's thinking, I can be the Steve to Vanessa and just kind of use Tiffany to make moves that I wouldn't want to do. And Tiffany can protect me and so on and so forth. And I think that she is also probably thinking that of people like Devon and Nicole, where she knows their game, she knows what they're capable of, and that allows her to feel comfortable around them.
Okay. And then in terms of some of these other groups that you have, let's talk about this anti-vet group, which is constituted of two of the other groups which you have highlighted. The Revolution, which is the Paul, Victor and Jose, and then the spy girls. Those six people together, you were calling them anti-vet.
Yeah, I think generally they're like the whole alliance might be called the revolution, but I didn't really. It's mostly these three guys because the girls are a little bit separate from them, but they are grouped up as this big anti-vet group. They are basically the remains of this thing that they did before the, or right as the vets came in, where they were all saying we're going to take out the vets, we're going to band together. This is the remainder of that group. We had people like Michelle and Corey and Tiffany and Polly all kind of, you know, back away from that group. These are the people that remain. They're the spy girls are not super invested in the guys. They have sort of seen the writing on the wall and they kind of want to back away from them because these three guys are like the trio.
Radioactive.
The very optimistic trio that is running around the house thinking that they have the entire game sewn up.
So hypothetically, and we're talking about a 7-4 vote going into Thursday, I'm assuming that those four votes are going to be Paul, Victor, Natalie, and Bronte. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so.
So does this group of six, I mean, who are they working on? And I guess that the thing is that they don't even know necessarily that they need to be working on people. But are there anybody that they have connections to that could potentially flip over to their side?
That could potentially flip over? Probably not. The people that they think they have are Devon and Zakiya. Jose feels like, they're on his team. And so therefore he has them sewn up. He's been talking to Devon, telling her that he's the Messiah, and probably believes like, I'm throwing Devon a bone by giving her all this information. So obviously she's going to stay loyal to me. They also think that they have Frank on their side to some extent. And like I said, they think that all the other players are running scared. They think that James is going to probably vote with them now because he knows he doesn't have the votes otherwise. The only people that they're sure about that they know that they don't like at the moment are Nicole for nominating them in the first place. Tiffany, who has been sort of playing ball with them and pretending that she's with them, but they're kind of suspicious of her. They think that maybe she won that roadkill competition. And they kind of also think they know that Corey has kind of jump shipped because he has a very tight relationship with Nicole. So that's sort of how they see the house at the moment.
Do you think this thing gets to Thursday with Jose and that group still believing that they're safe? Or do you think that the beans get spilt sometime before Thursday?
So far, the 8-pack are completely content with letting these people think that they're running the house. They're enjoying it. They're egging them on. They're, you know, they're managing to keep a straight face and then turning around and laughing because it's just so hilarious. They're talking about like the biggest blindside ever. We're like, we're really trying to make a show here. We really want this to be an exciting first eviction or first real eviction, I guess. Sorry, Glenn. So given the amount of optimism on the part of Jose, I think it's very possible that they could continue to go through the rest of the week and still not realize that they don't have the votes until the actual eviction.
Okay. All right. I want to segue to questions here in a bit. But Taryn, anything else from the live feeds you want to highlight before we jump into questions?
One thing to point out, the reason that Polly is not involved in this 8-pack alliance, is basically that he, Frank has gone back to talking to us in the mornings, which he used to do in Big Brother 14 with Mike Boogie. And, Frank said that he likes Polly. He wants to work with Polly. And it's unfortunate that Polly just didn't happen to be in the room at the time that the 8-pack was formed. And so Polly is kind of left out of a lot of these alliances. Frank does want to work with him. I mentioned it in the alliance chart. There's kind of this bro understanding, between Frank, Polly, and Corey. I don't think it's super solid, but Frank is making sure that he has connections here and there to make sure that he's not fully invested in this 8-pack alliance.
One of the other controversies that came out of the live feeds and I guess out of Big Brother After Dark is this story about Corey and the goat. Taryn, do you have a hot take on this one? No pun intended. That's very intended.
Well, the story is basically, you know, Corey has frat bros and they take sick bro pics.
Sick goat pics.
Yes, they take very sick goat pics. Basically, they tried to set a goat on fire is the point of the story. Very unfortunate. I don't believe that Corey was the person that doing it, but he told the story in a way that like, oh, isn't this a funny thing that
you
we
don't
did?
Think and, it was like, oh, my friend was doing this. Boy, my friend, he really, you know, he really thinks that Victor is a good looking guy too.
Yeah. Well, honestly, the fact that he didn't think that it was that bad of a story tells me he didn't even have the foresight to pretend it was a friend when it might have not been. So we have no reason to believe that it was Corey doing it, but definitely his callousness in the way that he told the story is very disheartening to many people. And yes, definitely a big, big controversy.
Yeah, I tweeted about this earlier today. I said, this is exactly the reason that Sia is not going to be showing up to the Big Brother finale this year. Sia is out on Corey.
She's gonna show up and like do the. Can I do the opposite of a fan favorite? Can we do like worst favorite?
Yeah, Sia is gonna come and just slap Corey across the face.
Yeah.
At the Big Brother finale. Okay, let's get into the questions. Hashtag RHAP. Also, robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump in to that. And here's question number one. Frickifer says, isn't it ironic that spies are known for their stealth and finesse, yet the Girl Spy Alliance get caught at the point where they're creating their alliance? Was that irony lost on you, Taryn?
No, it was not. That I love how they edited it, too. That was definitely some solid editing on their part. Very well put together.
Yeah, very good. Very good. But this, again, adorable and even maybe even adorkable for the Spy Girl Alliance. Go ahead.
Well, I will say they are very adorable, and they were obviously caught doing what they were doing, and they're in a little bit of trouble going into next week. Nicole really wants to target Bronte, while some other people want to target Victor, and so it's kind of between those two. However, Natalie, who we all thought was going to be the first voot, has shown some aptitude in this game. She, over almost anyone else, she had a conversation with Bronte, and they talked about kind of pointing out most of the members of the 8-pack, thinking maybe they're in an alliance and maybe we're on the outs, but there's nothing we can do about it. So don't underestimate the Spy Girls, despite their adorableness.
Look, that for you guys who are just listening to the Big Brother podcast, on the latest Patron 5 for 5 show, I asked Nicole Stradamus, who's your pick for Big Brother 18? And that was her answer.
She's making Natalie. It happen. She did it to Debbie. She made Debbie a better player than she should have been, and now she's doing it to Natalie.
She brought Natalie into the conversation of possible winners. Okay, so let's jump into Marissa G says, I'd like to voice my opinion about the roadkill competition. I adore the premise for the competition. I'd like to know more than Frank's time. Sketchy. All right, so Marissa is saying that she loves roadkill, but maybe she says the conspiracy theory in play here. Did you enjoy the actual roadkill competition?
It was interesting for sure. I think the fact that there were so many people doing it kind of took some of the tension away. It just seemed like there was no tension, right? It was just like, which one of these 15 people is gonna win? And we didn't get to see a whole lot of like actual competing. It was just like very montagey, but it was definitely interesting to watch. And it was very easy to put yourself in that situation. I tweeted about like, you know, how did James get the producers to greenlight this competition? Because it's exactly what James wants to see in a competition. Just lots of people unrobing,
getting naked, right?
Yeah.
Maybe James is a challenge consultant this season.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's pitching ideas in the diary room.
Yeah. Is it true that one of the concerns this season is that James has a crush on Nicole? Because that was one of the updates I had read. It was probably on Big Brother Network, where I go for a lot of these updates. That was a concern that Frank had that James has a crush on Nicole.
Yeah, I mean, of course he does, right? Of course he does. Another interesting thing to note about that, though, is that Natalie has talked about James, saying, you know, James is the kind of personality that I think I'd date.
Wow.
I think I'm into James. And somebody, I don't remember who, was immediately like, don't tell him that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, do not do that. Do not tell James. Okay. Kristen Books says, the combination of these twists right now seems completely idiotic. As it stands, there are a whopping 8 immune people and 3 people on the block. It did seem like a bit much to add a third nominee to the mix when we have one whole team that has immunity and then another team, which is the HOH. So it did seem like that was a little bit intense.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Frank had to choose, he had like 4 options for his replacement roadkill nominee. Mm-hmm. And there's 15 people in the house, and he was down to 4 people left that were eligible.
Now, Taryn, you said that Victor was a target for next week, but I was under the impression that Victor and James's team were all immune for another week following this.
No, I believe that the 2 week safety was really just 2 eviction safety. So they were safe from the Glenn eviction.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay, good. So this is the second week. Hope Leba says, how long do you think that the roadkill takeover will last? Do you have a sense on this?
I think they'll probably keep it for a while. I think it'll last longer than the teams will. So I think we're looking to basically right around where probably the MVP kind of faltered away, sort of where the Battle of the Block ended the first time around. So I think they'll want to keep it for a while.
I know you're not crazy about it. I know Alex wasn't crazy about it. What has been the overall sense in the fandom of Big Brother, at least from Big Brother Twitter, which had the chance to react to it over the weekend?
I think in general, the thought is similar. It's, you know, this could be a thing that messes with the game chemistry, but also, you know, maybe there's some optimism as well. Like maybe this can lead to some interesting scenarios. And you know, maybe there's going to be somebody who wants to secretly nominate a member of their own alliance and like pull some sneaky moves. That could be interesting. But I think for the most part, people have been recognizing, because these are the super fans, they recognize this is probably not going to be a good thing for, you know, if a dynamic season where it goes back and forth.
Yeah, hard to imagine the scenario where it really is a game changer in terms of if somebody from the Big Alliance is in power and then somebody else from the Big Alliance ends up in power to add a third nominee to the mix. I mean, why weren't they nominated in the first place? Even if somebody who's in the Minority Alliance gets it, they throw somebody up there and it's just still they don't have the votes to get that person out. So
yeah,
really, it's tough. Other than that scenario, like the hinky vote type scenario of like, hey, who put that person up? Hey, whoa. This isn't what we talked about. I think that could potentially be fun, but it seems like the only scenario where we get some meat out of this.
Yeah, and if we're looking toward next week, after Jose is theoretically gone, this anti-vet group is kind of sitting dead in the water. They're going to have to win both HOH and the roadkill competition to have any chance of taking out any of these 8-pack people, unless the 8-pack people already start to turn on each other, which doesn't seem super likely despite the fractures.
Regulators 2.0?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Worst case scenario for any vet versus newbie scenario. Okay.
However, I will say the response on Twitter, despite the fact that, you know, people are like, well, this isn't the greatest twist in the world, but we're rooting for these vets. You know, we're rooting for this 8-pack people. We don't like the anti-vet people as much. So, you know. Yeah.
That's how unlikable the group of of the revolution has turned out to be. Really, the threesome of Paul and Victor and Jose. That's just how unlikable they've turned out to be.
Very much so.
Yeah, it's bad. We are rooting for the captors at this point.
Yeah.
Rooting for the villain. All right. Lumosat says, should Frank have revealed to his alliance that he won the roadkill competition? We saw him. It was kind of funny when Frank and James were talking about it, where James was asking, did you win it? And Frank was sort of like messing with him and like, I guess you'll never know. Did you like that he told people?
It's kind of a dilemma. Because if you're Frank, it's a good card to play to prove that you're a loyal member of the alliance, right? You're able to say, I have this power and I'm using it to benefit us. It's our secret that we're keeping together. It kind of glues the alliance together. But at the same time, if you're Frank, you have to be very concerned about this image of you that you're a competition beast. And if you're already winning competitions, you're already putting people up on the block. This other side of the house, they have no idea that Frank did this, but they are going to find out at some point. And they're going to know that he's been lying to them this whole time. Especially Bridget, who he nominated Bridget in large part to be a pawn, but also to kind of throw the scent off of himself because Bridget's on his team. And when Bridget finds out that it was Frank that nominated her, and she's going to, she's not going to be happy about that. She's going to be very hurt and she's going to feel betrayed. And that's not a good place to start.
So do you think that Frank should have not told anybody that he won the competition?
Yeah, I think if you don't tell anybody, then nobody knows, nobody is ever able to link it back to you in the future, and you can get away with it. Again, there is a benefit to telling people, so I don't think it's the worst move in the world that he did. But if it's me personally, I don't think I'm going to tell anyone.
You're right that for Frank, this is really a best case scenario. That there's a competition that he could win every single week and nobody would know that he is winning it. And
exactly.
He could sort of keep it a mystery. But at the same time, he wants to try to make everybody feel like they can trust him and that they can that he's loyal to the group. So he's telling people, but it sort of defeats the purpose of Frank that he's like, okay, good. We complimented him for not winning the first HOH. Good, he's changing his image. But then by telling people that he's winning this competition, it sort of defeats that purpose.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. More questions. This is from Derp Herper. Of the four returnees, whose game do you think has evolved the most since their first season? Have you seen an evolution in anybody's game, Taryn?
I think there's definitely been an evolution in Nicole's game. I think that she's playing a lot more aggressively than she did the first time around. I think she learned a lot of lessons in that sense. She still has a lot of fear in her, but she's making sure she's taking control of her own destiny. And then we're also seeing a change in Frank where he's more low key. He's less aggressive about winning the competitions despite this roadkill one. I think that for the most part, he's the same old Frank, but he's a mature Frank, and he is dealing with the house guests in a better way. He's lying better than he was before. So I think Nicole and Frank have improved the most and changed the most.
Okay. Gabrielle says, do you think that Jose keeps repeating how much everyone loves him because he's trying to use his messiah powers to will it to be true?
Yes. You love me. You all love me.
Jedi Messiah.
Maybe he went in kind of like the antithesis to Bronte, who's going in using behavioral psychology. He's going in using, you know, this kind of pseudoscience-y thing where he's going to will it into existence by saying that it's true.
What do you think Jose's reaction is going to be when he gets out of the house and watches any of this show?
I think he's going to be like, oh yeah, I knew it the whole time. I was just making good TV, just being entertaining. I think that's going to be his line. We saw when the roadkill twist was revealed, he was the first person to pipe up with the obligatory, oh, I knew it. So I expect that he's going to just, you know, pretend that he was in on the joke.
Speaking of reactions to the show, have there been any Glenn sightings over the weekend?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I'm aware, the whole idea that maybe he is in sequester is still alive.
Yeah. He is either out and keeping a very low profile in the Boogie Down Bronx, or he is not. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on with Glenn. This is from Payam, who said that, do you think that Jose is the new Devin or the new Frankie?
I think that he is like Devin and Frankie and Joey and like all of those other people, like times 10, right? Like he has to be one of the most optimistic players we've ever seen. And I think that he will go down in history as a legendary first/second boot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's very good. Very good in terms of that. He's delivering on the promise.
Yeah, and Frank made a great comment on the feeds. He was talking about Jose, and he was like, where did they find this guy? He basically just watched YouTube clips of Frankie Grande, and that's his knowledge of the Big Brother house. And yeah. I think that's 100% accurate.
Yeah, I also felt like in talking about the particularly badness of Jose, on Saturday afternoon, I had the live feeds on while I was doing a bunch of work, and that I witnessed a political debate between Jose and Corey, which it was like that scene at the end of Billy Madison where, you know, that's the dumbest answer I've ever heard. And we're all dumber for having listened to it on both sides, like on both.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm not getting political about this, but just it was like two idiots arguing where both sides were like, I'm pretty sure, like if you fact checked anything that either of them were saying, like neither one like was well informed or representing their side of the debate well. And for somebody on the block, I have no idea why you would engage. Like, I don't know why anybody in the Big Brother house would get into a political debate about this presidential election in this house. But for somebody who's on the block to really be getting into a very spirited political debate, I have no idea. I can't even, Taryn.
Yeah, it's great. Watching it was, I could only stand so much. It was basically just two sides slinging slogans at each other and not understanding how to talk any deeper than just the slogans that they've been regurgitated to. It was sad. It was unfortunate. This guy clearly thinks he's running the house. And, you know, when he piped up in this conversation, he thought that saying his slogans and his script of what he's supposed to say was just going to win him the argument, because that's just how his mind works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not sure if Hillary Clinton may want to tap Jose to be a campaign manager at any point. Okay, this is from Mr. Epic, who says, are you guys also disappointed by the team twist? Do you have any disappointment towards the team twist at this point, Taryn?
I mean, it's not my favorite. I don't think so far it hasn't really contributed anything other than being, a vehicle for those first few competitions.
I mean, I kind of feel like it doesn't even exist. It's sort of like, it's there, it's happening, but I mean, is it really changing the game? Are people really staying loyal to their team in any way, shape, or? I mean, you have Frank who's nominating somebody from his own team, with the roadkill twist. So, other than whoever wins HOH, they by proxy, their team will be safe from eviction for that week. I don't really think that there is a lot there.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, another side effect is that it kind of helped the vets, you know, integrate themselves a little better. But yeah, other than that, there's really not much effect in there, or at least there hasn't been so far. Maybe they will introduce more twists later on that will utilize the teams. But so far, nobody really even talks about them on the feeds.
Okay. Let's talk about two or three more questions. This is from Michael Pierce. Should Frank have nommed a returning player to remove suspicion? Do you like that idea?
Not particularly. One of the things that these returning players have going for them at the moment is that they kind of seem untouchable. They're very powerful at the moment. And they don't want to kind of ruin that illusion quite yet if they don't have to. Hmm. Yeah. And obviously, it's just a dumb move. You don't take the risk anyway. It's not worth removing the suspicion. People are going to find out eventually anyway.
Right. I don't really see the upside for Frank to destabilize the Vets Alliance when it's really a thing that's probably going to keep him safe for a long time in this game. We've got a visual question here. Survivor Twerk says, Bridget looks like Lucy, right? Do you think that are you seeing that Lucy from the Peanuts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's odd. Bridget, I've seen more comparisons of like, this is what Bridget looks like than I think any other house guest this season by far. It's like, you know, Bridget looks like James and Meg's child, or Bridget looks
really
like lots of different comparisons. Dora the Explorer. Now we've got this one. It's lots of comparisons to Bridget. She just invites them, I guess.
Dang, no sign of Diego yet in the Big Brother house. This is from Travis, who says, if Jose survives the week, can he blend back into the crowd and last until jury? I mean, what are the chances of that? No, 0.000, right?
No chance that he will blend back into the crowd. Even if he stays, he will always be leading the charge toward whatever side he's leading toward. So...
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And let's see one last question tonight. Michael J., does Paul have a chance to be in the Austin Dan slot where their buddy leaves week one, but they make a deep run? Do you think, is there a chance that Paul could survive the anchor, which is Jose?
I do actually. I think Paul might have the best chance of the three to survive this and kind of move on. I don't want to call it the Austin slash Dan spot because I feel like those are very different things, but yes, I can see him being in the Austin spot.
Yes.
Is where he's kind of seen as a joke right now, but if they leave him in too long, he can kind of become a bigger player later in the game.
Okay. Yes. Taryn, we know Dan is the best.
I just, even just like from a game standpoint, I don't think it's the best way to compare.
The question was insulting. Okay. But I've actually been higher on Paul, I think, than a lot of people. I think that, he's in a bad spot. And I think he's, said some things, which did not come off great to the viewers. But I do think that he definitely has more upside than Jose. I don't want to paint him with the same brush as Victor even.
He has a sincerity to him that kind of, you know, when you talk to Victor or Jose even, they seem like, you know, they're playing the game, whereas Paul is just so open about everything. Not in the same way that Jose is, where he's telling all of his secrets, but just in like Paul just expresses his emotions. He wears them on his face. He's very easy to read. So people aren't very threatened by him. So I think that's going to work toward his advantage.
Yeah, I predict. For Paul, I think he has a similar arc to a Dominic Briones, but minus getting married to one of the cast members after the show, where I kind of feel like the people come around on him and like, he's a good guy. And then he sort of like will get caught up in some sort of scheming and then just be voted out right before we get to the jury.
Did people not like Dom?
I felt like that people in the Big Brother house.
Oh, well, yeah, people in the group. But I feel like, okay, so you're talking like as far as
yeah,
like,
I think,
player
I think
perception.
Not in terms of the fan reaction to him. I feel like that he was very, very well liked by the fans of the show. But I feel like that for Paul, I feel like that he has sort of like that the veterans, I think, might turn around on him at one point where they feel like they can trust him. And then it's like, oh, no, we couldn't trust him.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I think that Frank in particular is probably going to be looking to pick up Paul. But if Paul does anything to mess with that, we've seen that Frank, he was not a particularly forgiving guy in his first season, and he has learned his lesson from Dan. He is not going to trust anybody ever again that slights him. He learned his lesson.
Yeah. All right. So then one last thing to talk about. So we've talked about Pick Pete last week, the fantasy site where you can play an online Big Brother game and pick your top four players for the season. You've got to lock that in before Wednesday night's episode over on pickpete.com. The good news is you don't have to be locked in yet. So we have the opportunity to adjust our top four moving forward. So Taryn, heading into this week and heading into Wednesday's day to lock in the votes. Can you give us your power rankings here for the top four of Big Brother 18?
So right now, I think that Nicole isn't in the best spot. She's kind of being targeted from some of the other people, but I don't think that's going to come to fruition anytime soon. I think that once this blindside happens, a lot of people are going to be exposed and targets are going to shift. And then even if she's still targeted, this roadkill thing is going to protect her, I think. So I think Nicole is still looking very good. She's in the center of all of this 8-pack stuff. She's not being left out of anything. So she's definitely locked in.
Number one,
Nicole.
Okay.
Next, I think I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Michelle. Like I said, it's hard to read her. But I like what she's doing. She's getting in good with Tiffany, who's a good weapon, I think. And she's managed to continue to have good relationships with the rest of the 8-pack. She's in the Fatal Five. She's connected to a lot of people. She's not on too many people's radars. I think, again, she's somebody that's going to benefit from other people who are lying at the moment being exposed after this vote. So Michelle, I'd go with number two. Then I'm really liking what I'm seeing of Frank. Like I said, I think that he is doing a good job socially. I'm scared of what's going to happen again once once this thing is revealed. But I'm liking what he's doing so far. I think that he's making good relationships. He's setting himself up well, and I like his position moving forward. And then finally, I'm really liking Zakiya. I think that she's in a really good spot.
I agree. I think that Davon is going to get picked off somewhere along the way, but I feel like that Zakiya is the one who could emerge and make the deep run.
Definitely. I think that Zakiya is, she's connected with a lot of people. She's somebody that is going to sort of be hurting after this vote. It's going to be revealed that she's betrayed Jose and she's been lying this whole time and that she's really with the vets, and that's going to hurt her. But I think that she's sweet enough that she's going to get away with it. And I think that there are other people that are going to be in bigger targets. She's not very imposing. She's not being very threatening, but she gets along with a lot of people. The biggest concern is that she's very, very, very cozy with Polly, which could put a target on her back. But I'm really into Zakiya right now.
The problem is with this Pick Pete roster, Taryn, is that there's no possible way that the final four is Nicole, Michelle, Zakiya, and Frank.
Probably not.
Probably not. So it's like, okay, that if you're going to you got to come up with a top four. So you figure out your scenario that gets them. If Nicole, Michelle, and Zakiya are there, probably, I'm thinking it's either one of the other women or one of the non-threatening guys. Hard to imagine an alpha male like Frank makes it to the end and they're not like, unless he's just on some sort of veto run.
Yeah.
Veto runner.
Luckily, I still have time before Wednesday to update my picks. You know, we'll see where the rest of the week takes us and then, lock them in.
If you want to play along for free, we're all going to get our rosters locked in. Go to pickpete.com and see if you are the best Big Brother expert in the world come mid-September. All right. So that's going to do it for us here tonight. Let's start thinking about a hashtag chat room as I set up what's coming up for the week. Of course, Jordan Parhar will be live with the Happy Hour coming up on Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then we are going to have our Big Brother live show coming up on Wednesday, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be live with Alex Kidwell. And then we got our first eviction number one coming up, live eviction number one. We have, Glenn. He's probably watching this somewhere tonight, just turning over tables at his house in the boogie down Bronx. No, in all seriousness, 10:15 p.m. Eastern for the live eviction show. And special guest coming up this Thursday night. Yes, that's right. Yes. Johnny Mack will join us for live eviction number one this Thursday night. So big week coming up with all of the Big Brother festivities. And then on Friday, we will get into the overnight live feed update as well. So a big week coming up. The chat room has voted, Taryn. And it looks like in a walk, hashtag sick goat picks.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yes, so that's coming up. Hashtag sick goat picks. Taryn, anything else you want to mention?
I'm still doing the American Ninja Warrior podcast. So,
oh yeah, American Ninja Warrior.
The next episode is going to be the Philadelphia episode, which I flew to Philadelphia and attended this episode. I attended the taping. So I'm going to have a lot of insider information. Check out the episode. Check out the podcast. It's a lot of fun. Reality TV wrap ups, or you can subscribe to the dedicated feed, American Ninja Warrior, for RHAP.
All right. And then, of course, if you heard about the live feeds and we've piqued your curiosity, you can go ahead and subscribe to the Big Brother live feeds. Go to robinswebsite.com/live feeds. Lots of other fun stuff coming up on the podcast. I recorded a podcast today with Kurt Clark talking about the show Escape the Night. Have you heard about this, Taryn?
I haven't actually.
On YouTube Red, from Joey Graceffa from Amazing Race and YouTube, that basically this is a show which sort of combines whodunit and Escape the Rooms, which is a great love of Kurt Clark. So we talked about how that was. Also, I've got a Survivor off-season podcast talking about the man who created the Survivor Brooklyn, not ORGs like Audrey, LRGs. Which Sophie and Andrea played in, and we talked about what it's like to put on some Survivor games in person. Some fun stuff in that as well coming up on the podcast this week, plus of course News AF and much more. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robinswebsite.com/iTunes for the podcast feed. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.